Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games Camp for high school and college students.
Are Muslims beyond Christ's salvation? Well, stay tuned as Dr. Ray Bolin reveals how to break the barriers of Islam, now on Probe.
Even in these tense times, we can be confident that God loves the followers of Islam and desires for them to receive redemption through Jesus Christ. Paul writes in 1 Timothy, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. However, many Christians feel like the gulf is too wide and the walls are too high to share the truth with Muslims. Yet our God is a rewarder of those who seek Him, working in providential ways to make truth known. This week we'll discuss one way God is breaching the barriers of Islam. Let's begin looking at the very real barriers to Islamic evangelism. The first decade of the 21st century is becoming known for the greatest clash between the Western world and Islam since the Crusades. The recent furor over cartoons showing caricatures of Muhammad is a violent example of the chasm. This radical fanaticism is an extreme expression of the barriers that have existed for centuries as Christians have tried to share their faith with followers of Islam. Around the globe, missionaries have typically seen fewer converts from Islam than from other religions. Let's consider a few of the bricks from which this barrier is constructed. First, the higher way syndrome. According to Islam, earlier prophets such as Moses and Jesus brought truth from God, but over time their followers corrupted God's true intent. Muhammad came to correct those perversions. Therefore, the Bible has been corrupted and is no longer reliable. Second, the final word. Muhammad is the last of the prophets. There can be no further revelation. Questioning the meaning of the Quran, contrary to the local imam, is strictly prohibited. Third, the greater reward. Zeal and strict adherence to the tenets of Islam will result in great rewards in paradise. A zealous Muslim will be proselytizing others, not allowing someone to try to convert him. These first three bricks share much in common with reasons why it should be hard to convert a devout Christian to another world religion. But Islam adds a fourth brick that is distinctly different. The ultimate penalty. As reported by Ibn Warraq, it is quite clear that under Islamic law, an apostate must be put to death. Even if a pubescent boy apostatizes, he is imprisoned until he comes of age. When if he persists in rejecting Islam, he must be put to death. The death penalty for conversion certainly puts a damper on openness to considering the claims of other religions. These bricks and others build a solid fortress, making it difficult for evangelism among Muslims. Tomorrow we'll see how God is creating a breach in this fortress.
This has been Probe with your host and the president of Probe Ministries, Dr. Ray Bolin. To get your free copy of Breaching the Barriers of Islam by Steve Cable, go online to probe.org. Be sure to join us next time here on Probe.
Yesterday, we looked at aspects of Islam that create a formidable wall for those desiring to share Christ. However, God has equipped us for the destruction of fortresses and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. As David Garrison reports, more Muslims have come to Christ in the past two decades than at any other time in history. Well, before modern artillery, a high, thick wall was an effective fortress. If the fortress was well supplied or time was a critical factor, the attacking army must create a breach in the wall through artillery or siege works. The first group of troops to enter the breach would take on the brunt of the fortress's defenses and suffer extremely heavy casualties. During the Napoleonic Wars, the British Army called the first attackers the Forlorn Hope, offering promotions to any survivors. Shakespeare honored the Forlorn Hope in King Henry V as Henry rallied his troops, shouting, "Once more unto the breach, dear friends, once more, or close the wall up with our English dead." Is it possible that a forlorn hope entering a God-given breach in the barriers of Islam could spread the light of the gospel in an Islamic country? In a South Asian country, Abdul, a teenager, was expelled from his Islamic school for asking too many questions about the Quran. In response to Islamic law, he was held as a captive by his family and condemned to death upon coming of age. Secretly freed by his mother, he fled from his home. A chance encounter with a Christian missionary as he walked a country road dramatically changed his life. The missionary showed such love and concern that Abdul had to touch him to assure himself that this was a man and not an angel. Abdul gave his life to Christ and was baptized. Abdul was one of a handful of converts from Islam witnessed by this missionary over a period of 30 years. Banished from his home, Abdul spent several years studying and growing in his faith in another part of the country. Led by God to return to his village, Abdul took up residence in the home of a childhood friend as he was still banished by his family. After a few months of studying the Quran and the Bible, his friend was ready to be baptized. When his family learned about it, they rounded up the villagers, took Abdul to the local soccer field, and proceeded to beat him to death. Left for dead, his friend came to his aid, and Abdul survived. When Abdul baptized his friend, he prayed, "Thank you, God, for my friend. Yesterday I was the only believer in this village. Today there are two. Tomorrow there can be 200, if it is your will." Yesterday we covered the conversion of Abdul and his friend. Within a few years, all 1,800 people in Abdul's village became Christians, including those who left him for dead. These new believers were discipled and more villages were touched. Since that time, over 500,000 Muslim background believers have joined in following Jesus Christ. This unprecedented response also resulted in the murder of Abdul's friend by Islamic radicals. Their willingness to act as the forlorn hope entering the breach with no regard for their own lives was a central part of this wonderful awakening. But what was the breach in the fortress of Islam allowing the message of Christ to be heard? Remember, Abdul used the Quran and the Bible to bring his friend to faith. The breach and the barrier is the Quran itself. According to others working in Abdul's country, good Muslims have been taught from childhood that the Quran is the only true word of God. They may not know the meaning of the Quran's text, but nonetheless, they believe it's true. When approached with the Bible, Muslims immediately become defensive, but they cannot and will not deny the Quran. Relating to a Muslim from the Quran guarantees a listening ear. Many Muslims do not know that the following assertions appear in the Quran. First, if you are in doubt about the truth, ask those who read the scripture that came before you. Second, to be a proper Muslim, one must read the before books, the Old and New Testaments. Third, Christians are humble and compassionate and know the truth when they hear it. Fourth, those who observe the teaching of the Torah and the Gospels will go to heaven. Fifth, Muhammad states he is not the greatest prophet, he does not know what will happen to his followers after death, and he is only a warner. And sixth, Jesus knows the way to Allah. The strongest passage to foster a discussion about Jesus is from Surah Al-Imran. This passage states, "Mary was chosen by God, Jesus was born of a virgin, Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus has power over death, and Jesus knows the way to heaven." An honest, open reading raises Jesus from prophet status closer to Savior status. For example, verse 345 reads, "O Maryam, Allah gives you the good news, that you will be given a son. His name will be Messiah, Issa, the son of Maryam." And 349 reads, "Jesus will heal the blind and the lepers and raise the dead to life by Allah's leave." This passage clearly ascribes to Jesus a position and power that Muhammad does not ascribe to himself. Tomorrow we'll consider an appropriate way to use the Quran as a bridge. We rightfully accuse some cults of using proof texts from the Bible to promote distorted religions. Did the verses introduced in yesterday's program constitute the overwhelming message of the Quran? Absolutely not. There are other passages which are critical of Christianity, and particularly the idea that Jesus is another God apart from Allah. Lest we be guilty of proof texting, some approaching a Muslim with passages from the Quran must be clear on their objective. We should keep in mind 4 points. First, be humble. Freely admit that you are not an expert in the Quran. You want to understand how they view these passages. Second, be simple. Do not expound on the doctrine of the Quran or attribute inspiration to its teaching. Simply point out that the Quran seems to encourage Muslims to study our Bible and understand more about Jesus. Third, be sensitive. Don't think that you are going to use the Quran to lead someone to Christ. You're discussing the Quran to see if they are open to further exploration of Jesus' teaching. Fourth, be positive. People who have grown up studying the Quran have used this approach to bring hundreds of thousands of Muslims to faith in Christ over the last decade. In his book, Camel Training Manual, Kevin Greeson points out Paul's custom when entering a new area was to begin teaching Christ in the synagogue from their scripture, the Old Testament. In a similar fashion, we can approach a Muslim with the question, "I've discovered an amazing truth in the Quran that gives hope of eternal life in heaven. Would you read this passage with me so that we can talk about it?" The purpose of this discussion is not to show how much you know about the Quran or how little they may know. In humility, the purpose is to ask them to consider the implications of this passage stating Jesus had authority over death and Jesus knows the way to heaven. They know these statements are true because they're in the Quran. If they are concerned about death and want to know the way to heaven, they may want to learn more about Jesus to follow the Quran's injunction to obey Jesus. This teaching about Jesus is especially important in light of the Surah, the Chambers 46:9, which reads, I, Muhammad, am no prodigy among the prophets, nor do I know what will be done with me or with you. I follow only what is revealed to me, and I am no more than a plain warner. So the Quran teaches Muhammad is a warner, calling people to fully obey God, while Jesus is the Messiah, knowing the way to God. A serious Muslim should have a desire to learn about Jesus. Please note that the purpose of discussing the Quran is not to teach someone how to receive God's free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. The purpose is to identify people who are open to learning more about Jesus. People whose hearts are prepared through diligently seeking to know God. In his book, Church Planting Movements, Kevin Griesom refers to this as a finding a person of peace. This term refers to Jesus sending 70 of the disciples ahead of him to witness in every city and place where he was going. Jesus commanded the 70, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. Jesus was telling them to use a non-threatening, culturally appropriate way to determine whether a person is open to learning more about Jesus. An open, interested person is a person of peace, and you should invest your time in them. If they're not interested, then shake the dust from your feet and move on. It will only antagonize them and their community if you insist on forcing yourself upon them. Once an interest in knowing more about Jesus is confirmed, you set the Quran aside and turn to the Bible, the before book in Quran terminology, to teach them about Jesus and redemption. One concern about sharing in this manner is the danger of producing a group of pseudo-believers who add a distorted view of Christ to their religious practice without truly putting their faith in Christ. This danger is why the Quran must be viewed only as the breach getting you into the fortress. The Bible, in the power of the Holy Spirit, supplies the words that lead to salvation. Discipleship must be strictly based on the Bible. In addition to the large numbers of conversions in Abdul's country, the level of commitment by these new believers is encouraging. In 2002, a team from a U.S. mission organization conducted an investigation of the churches resulting from this movement. They found that over two-thirds of the converts had been active followers of Islam. Less than 25% were mingling old Islamic beliefs with their new Christian ones, and less than 10% of the people know of any Christian returning to Islam. When Jesus told his followers to make disciples of all nations, he did not add a caveat excluding those hostile cultures with strong barriers to the truth. Instead, he promised to be with us and equip us with divinely powerful weapons to breach those fortresses. Hopefully, you are encouraged to reach out in love to Muslims as God brings them into your life. To learn more, take a look at the